the heck is that? I'm coming. I'm coming. Chill, chill. Oh, man, these guys. No, yo, if I'm laying down, God, I'm chill. My
Coach's Challenge Podcast. Challenge the call.
He ended up being right. And so I think what they really wanted was a time split between Julius Randle and Obi Toppin, right? With the aims of being able to trade Julius Randle later on and have Obi take over. But because our timeline has been advanced so much more and we see what we have in Julius Randle, now we're at a position where we may not even be able to trade Julius Randle. Because it might be a bad decision to do that. But I think going in, they really had the thoughts and ideas of trading.
That's another hand. See, but that's the Knicks being Knicks.
No, that's life.
They were going towards one direction, and then something happens, and they're like, "Oh shit, we got fire right here. Let's go to the fire." You keep your development, bro, because y'all got it. I love what the Cavs are doing.
Harold, y'all caught a lick.
Smart Knicks caught a lick. What smart people do is they adjust. So it's like we're not gonna stick to a plan.
Can't say smart people and the Knicks in the same sentence. But I agree with
okay,
you.
I just said that to troll you.
I just said that to troll you. I agree with them making smart decisions this season.
Yeah, they're making smart decisions. But that's the thing, is like you gotta adjust. Harold, if you've been working at a job, you know, your whole life and you're like, yo, you know what? Like my plan is to work at this job my whole life. And then there comes a opportunity where you can make way more money on that opportunity. You're going to be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to stick to my plan. Like, that doesn't make sense.
All right, one thing, Carl, it's not about the money.
I'm not talking about the money, I'm talking about decision making. If this spark of fire that you guys caught by accident,
which was not in your plans, Julius Randle, right? And now y'all, you guys are respectably in the mix in the Eastern Conference, right? Are respectably in the mix in the Eastern Conference. I do understand a franchise going, okay, let's go towards this. But is this, what is this end result? This goes back to the Knicks. If y'all do make the playoffs, y'all not gonna do anything in the playoffs. Cool. So towards the future, what is it? We caught a lick. Let's go to the playoffs. Let's get kicked out. Next year we start developing Obi again. That's not rebuilding. That's not what it is.
Bro, you gotta listen. We do the same thing that the Nets did. What did the Nets do? The Nets caught a lick too. Exactly. What did the Nets do? Under Kenny Addison, they got players who overproduced and then they did well. Right, like you know, D'Angelo Russell took off. Spencer Dinwiddie took off.
Yeah,
a bunch of players took off.
But they also had the cap.
We have cap space. The Knicks have cap space. We have enough cap space to the way that our cap flexibility is right now. No, we could sign two. We're able to sign two max agents
and keep Julius Randle
because the
and
only
Mitchell
way that
Robinson.
We, yes, all of them. Mitchell Robinson has like a 3-year. Mitchell Robinson, we're paying Mitchell Robinson like $1 million a year, and he still has like 2 years left on his contract. What we could do with Julius Randle is we could sign two max agents first and then extend him because we'd have his bird rights. So we'd be able to get all those three players.
Okay.
So we have money, we have cap flexibility, and we also have draft picks.
Now you guys are hoping to get to the level where a top free agent says, yo, I want to go to the Knicks.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're hoping.
Let's see how this goes for the Knicks, because history says that nobody has ever said, "Yo, I want to go to the Knicks," besides Melo.
That's not true.
No, lots of other players have said they wanted to go to the Knicks, bro. Trae Young wanted to go to the Knicks. Steph Curry wanted to go to the Knicks.
When did he want to go? When did Trae Young want to go to the Knicks?
He wanted to be drafted by the Knicks.
Okay, that was probably a generic question where he said. It's like when Colin Sexton says he would have liked to play for Atlanta Hawks.
Let me guess. He said he wanted to play with the Knicks while he was in New York.
Exactly. Interviewing.
Practicing
for the Knicks.
Honestly, Trae Young only gave when they practice for the team. He only practiced for like maybe two or three teams. And the Knicks were one of the teams that he practiced for. So it was more than just like him saying it for like an interview. He actually practiced with us.
And what pick did the Knicks have that year?
That was the year that we picked Knox, I think. I think we had like eight. We had eight. Trae Young won third.
No troll. A lot of players do want to play for the Knicks. But the issue is not
top free agents.
The issue is still the team around it. Like, yes, they want to play with the Knicks. The only problem
is they don't want to be the savior for the Knicks.
Exactly. If more people would go there and stuff like that, then they would definitely go.
Why don't you want to be the savior for the Knicks?
No one wants to be the savior for a franchise. You see what happens. You saw what happens with Melo.
Say that out loud.
Why would
I want to be a savior to the Knicks?
Again, why would they say that? Why would they say that out loud?
This generation does not want to save any franchise. What they want to do is they want to go into something that's already established. That's what Kevin Durant said about the Nets.
I agree that's what the Knicks are gonna do. That's what the Knicks are trying to do. But the pivot situation. Mm-hmm. It's just the Knicks being the Knicks. They wanted to go one direction. Something happened. Okay, let's go to this direction. But watch it fall flat, Carl, because history always shows that the Knicks always fall flat.
But the Knicks haven't been in this position, even in drafting these picks. There's nothing history.
Even in drafting these picks, Carl, Obi Toppin. Call them a bust, straight bust this year, and they got quickly. That was another lick they caught this year, along with the Julius Randle lick.
And Mitchell Robinson was good since year one.
No, but he was definitely a steal because no one was expecting Mitch Robinson to be that good.
That's another one.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
I expected Knox. No, it was Mitchell Robinson.
But we also had a plan for Mitchell Robinson. It wasn't once he showed what he was capable of. We highly scouted Mitch Robinson, and we were expecting for him to drop.
Every team highly scouts these players. You're not telling me anything that the Knicks, I understand, Carl. I understand you're going in detail. You want to go in detail.
We made the decision, bro, because y'all got him. No, but we had the plan to get him too. You got to reward us for when we make the right decision. We had the plan to get Mitchell Robinson, yes. And we did. Even with Quickly, which was ranked much lower than where we got him. Mm-hmm. When we actually picked Quickly, when they gave the grades for draft reports, CBS gave us a B- for picking Quickly because they said that Quickly should have been drafted much lower. So clearly we picked Quickly at a much higher place than he was anticipated to be drafted. Why did we do that? Because we did our research, we did our intel.
Every team, y'all not doing anything, but we did it better than other teams.
Why? Yeah. Because we got a player at pick 25 that should have been in the top 10.
We got Dylan Windler who's better than a whole bunch of players that he was drafted behind of. Come on, okay, man. I could go in detail on how Cavs picked these players. Every team has a reason why they picked these players.
But Wendler is not top ten.
Yes, the Knicks do catch, and I do give them props when they draft people like Quickly. I do give them their props when they draft people like Quickly and Mitchell Robinson. But you also got to take away props because they go in one direction. They're hyping up one direction.
And then all of a sudden, what they didn't plan, which is Julius Randle being an all-star and actually paying attention to Julius Randle,
they didn't do that. So they say, okay, we're going to, since we are winning and this is what the fans want to see.
But don't you see how the fans start skipping? Why the fans get so hyped because of a 17-17 record?
Time out. Good organizations pivot. Yeah, time out.
Julius Randle's not the future.
Wait, hold up. Time out. I am so confused because I came in late. You're mad, H, that the Knicks are changing their game plan because they got a more successful one?
No. I'm not mad that they're changing.
He's calling us foolish for pivoting.
I'm calling them foolish for trying to go this way and that way failing. And then, okay, they caught a lick.
But that's what they got lucky with Julius Randle, and that's what they should do.
But Lamont,
this is what a good team does. A good team catches the lick. Look, catches the lick like Julius Randle. They start winning, right? Goes to that while whatever they were going towards is still being molded. And so far, Kevin Knox, Frank Nicolina, Obi Toppin, who else? Those three guys that they spent their drafts on for the last couple of years, high draft picks at that, have been bust. And you could call R.J. Barrett kind of a bust too.
R.J. Barrett's not a bust. This season he's doing really good compared to what he did yesterday. He was a rookie. I'm not gonna call R.J. Barrett a bust. But what I'm saying is you don't see them putting that same like energy towards Frank Ntilikina. Like the only thing that I will agree with you on is like I don't understand why they're still giving Knox so much
because they have to, bro. They gotta show this guy. They gotta show Case him somehow.
Look at me.
I agree. They may have a plan to trade him.
The only way they would trade him is if they have to showcase him.
Didn't they offer him to the Cavs and the Cavs said no, which I don't agree with.
Allegedly, but you know, like I wasn't really too sure on the source.
If it was true, that's what I heard. If it was true, man, I don't agree with the Cavs.
I'm not mad at what the Knicks are doing. Like what they were doing before, it wasn't working. But when that happens, you have to stick with that because they're going to get draft picks for doing, to sticking with that plan. Because they obviously weren't going to be getting the free agents that they were hoping for. They realized that when they were able to get Randle, right? So you have to work with what you can get.
Lamont, sorry to interrupt you, but watch the Knicks give away their future for trying to get people free agents.
Yeah, it's definitely
and nobody goes over there and then they're back to square one.
I don't think that they're gonna give up their
somebody, give up the keys to the land to maybe get one, two players, and then it's only gonna be 2 or 3 years, and then that's it, it's done. It's a wrap.
I'll eat crow if they do this, but like what they've been doing this past like season and a half, I don't think that they're gonna make the typical quote-unquote Knicks move, right? They know the players that they shouldn't be letting go, right? The only like player that I consider that might be definitely not top tier, but doing a lot better for them than what you'd expect, even though that they're limited in what they do, is probably Elfrid Payton. He might be the only one that they'll like might sweeten the deal with people that they're actually getting quality usage out of. Right, I don't see them getting rid of Randle. I don't see them getting rid of Toppin.
The plan was to get rid of Randle.
Well, of course that was going to be the plan, but then Randle was like, you know what? No, I want to prove that I'm deserving of this contract. And look, I've always liked Randall. I make fun of his game because it's very simplistic, but it works, right? It's very easy to make fun of it, but I respect him when he does. Like, I call him Mr. Smith spin move because that's what he does. But if it works, it works. Like, you can't be mad at somebody for doing something that works, right? I'm just going to make fun of it because it's boring. Like, I respect the
Knicks.
I respect the Spurs. I respect the old Spurs, but, like, I don't like watching the Spurs because I feel like they're boring, but they got five championships. Like,
the Knicks didn't trust the process.
They did trust the process, and then it shifted.
You're supposed to change.
They didn't trust the process.
You're supposed to change and adjust, bro.
They didn't trust their process.
They trusted it.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
This is part of their process.
One of the reasons why this was a mistake.
I wonder what Miko has to say about this. Miko, what do you think about the Knicks and this season?
The God is here?
One thing I'll say is one of the reasons why we can say that the Knicks are trusting the process, because ever since Phil Jackson has been here, one of the things that the Knicks have done, even though they've changed their management a few times, is that they've kept their picks. They kept their picks, which has allowed them to be flexible. You said,
it took them 30 years to get to know the value of a draft, but they're
doing that. They are trusting their process. It's a complete culture shift in terms of what they used to do.
I do give them because Lamont mentioned that.
They're not making typical. Exactly. And I wanted to continue off of that because you said a few seconds ago that watch the Knicks trade mortgage the whole house so that they can get like a player or this or that. But you know what? They could have done that with Westbrook. Westbrook was available. They didn't go after him.
Like I said,
everybody thought that's what the Knicks would have done.
Because we went back and forth trolling because that was a typical Knicks move. That was a typical Knicks move.
They did not do that.
You got to give them props.
Exactly.
For that.
So you got to realize.
So just because they didn't go after Westbrook.
Yes. Come on. Even you thought they were going to pick up Westbrook.
There were other hot commodities that people have attached to the Knicks. Say, oh yeah, the Knicks are going to mortgage everything just to get this player, and they haven't done that. They've taken the prudent route here, and the prudent route is making sure that they maintain cap flexibility. All the players that they've even signed have only been on like 1 year contracts. They haven't given anybody like a long term contract. The only player that they gave a long term contract to was Julius Randle, and they still gave him a friendly contract, which was like a 3 years. But every player that they have on their team is under a 1 year contract, and they could wash everybody. So they maintain their cap flexibility, and the Knicks also have an abundant amount of picks. Like, yo, they were doing some trades
so they should win a championship. Cut to the chase.
They are leading, they are emerging into a more competent franchise. That's it. That doesn't necessarily mean championship, but competency is way better than what they've been establishing so far. Look at the Boston Celtics. The Knicks are just striving to be respectable. Okay, but it's baby steps. Philadelphia is a respectable organization. We haven't felt like that in a long time.
Yeah, but they're respectable because they're actually fighting for a ring.
Okay, yes.
That's how you get respect.
But what did they have to do? They trusted the process. Yeah, they trusted their process, and they did it. And they made mistakes along the way. And the things that they did, we changed the rule. We had a rule change because of what we were doing.
The thing I give Philly is that they trust their process. They trust their process, and they're actually getting results with their process.
But they also made mistakes along the way. Trading.
That's like Charlotte. That's like Charlotte right now. Gordon Hayward coming back, and he starts balling out. Gordon Hayward, and they start winning a couple of games, and they start putting their rookies, not
the GM of the year,
their rookies in on the trade market, trying to get rid of their future so that they could get the now and start winning a couple of games. You know, you got to trust the process.
They wouldn't do that because LaMelo plays like a starter. He plays like somebody that belongs as a top 10 player. And you have a friendly contract. So what other rookies that they have? Like, of course, they're going to try to get rid of Devontae Graham. Like, Devontae Graham is not going to be in the plan. So that's one of the young players that they have. They have P.J. Washington. They have Miles Bridges. All these players are expandable.
He's got Brittany.
I'm sorry,
but it all goes back. It all goes back to a player, free agents wanting to go to New York.
Okay, so you were just on Charlotte, but what your whole thing with Charlotte is okay. Oh, they're not gonna get rid of their rookies because they're on a current plan.
They didn't have as many picks. They didn't have as many young players as the Knicks. So it's kind of a bad analogy.
Right. So, but at Charlotte the end of the day, organizations definitely pivot. They definitely pivot based off of what's going on.
The only time I seen the Cavs pivot, they got him a championship, and that was when LeBron James said, "Look, I'm going back to Cleveland." They had to pivot, and they won a championship.
Bro, the Celtics.
So that's the pivot that I'm looking for. I'm looking for the Knicks to pivot in that fashion, but no, I guess, like you said, like I said, they're striving to be respectable. They're not striving for championships. They're striving to be respectable.
You good?
No, we're good. We're good.
We're ready to rock?
Yeah.
We've been rocking, boy.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Coach's Challenge. My name is Mr. Miggs. I'm here with Harold H. Calderon.
What's good? What's good, Harold, guys? Popner.
Stop this. Get it correctly.
Welcome back to the Coach's Challenge. My name is Mr. Miggs. I'm here with my boy H.
Yo, what's going on, guys?
And my boy Carl, Lamont, and Nico.
What up, what up, what up?
Today,
what's good, Miggs? What's good, Miggs?
Chilling, bro. Happy to be here as always. Now, today we was going to go over and start doing a couple of picks for the All-Star game to see, which team is going to be better than who. But since the NBA haven't gone ahead and done that yet, we're just going to wrap up the first half.
They're actually doing it tomorrow because we're recording on Wednesday. So Thursday they're going to pick teams. So we decided to watch that idea. And Miggs, what we got for the so far?
This first half of the regular season is done. So let's talk about that.
Fellas,
a lot of things, real quick, out of everything that's happened, who are your top five teams that you say have surprised you thus far in the first half of the NBA season?
The Knicks.
Yeah, the Hawks definitely are a surprise. The Knicks for sure.
Oh, you really think the Hawks are a surprise?
That was a joke.
Because, in my opinion, the Hawks, they're not a surprise to me, mainly because I thought they were going to be good last season. The season before that, because it's like
not coming into this season.
No. The reason why I'm saying this, because looking at the team on paper, it's like with the personnel, even though like the last two seasons, they may not have been, the team is definitely not as solid as like it is right now. But if you look at the team on paper, then you look at the Eastern Conference from the last, like this season and the last two seasons, it's like you would think the Hawks would have been a little bit higher up. Like, right. I remember like when we were talking about how, what was it? When we were talking about all-star picks and we were talking about how the team has to have a winning record. But like when you talk about how like the votes that like Trae Young has gotten, and it's because, like, even I always forget, like, they still had losing records during those times. It's because when you look at, like, what the Trae Young does, and you look at the people on the team, it's like, in the East, you would expect them to be a little bit better. And that's why I can't really say, like, they're a surprise in the negative way.
The reason why I say they're the biggest surprise in a negative way is because the way we talked about them before the season began, we came into this, they had a big splash in free agency by landing Bogdanovich from Sacramento, who was supposed to be a better Huerter, which he turned out to be a, injury prone. You know, he brought some injuries with him. They had a good draft. They were graded A in Bleacher Report. They drafted that kid, Okongwu, with the sixth pick. You know, and Trey Young got his sneaker deal over the summer. You know, they got Rajon Rondo. They got free agents. You know, Gallo Gallinari went out there. You feel me? And he to contribute off the and he was willing to come off the bench. So come on, they was having all the right. Everything you heard out of Atlanta was good, was music to your ears if you're a Hawks fan, you know. So that's why I'm gonna say they're the biggest disappointment. And also, you know, right when the season started, well, a couple of weeks ago, we heard that these guys were beefing at
John Collins and
Trey Young over their roles, and I think John Collins had a problem of how many touches he was getting or something, or how often Trey Young was his usage or whatever, boom, boom, boom. But anyway, I'm going to pick the Hawks as one of the biggest disappointments this year.
But that's what I'm saying, H. It's like, there's just something inherently wrong. There's just something inherently wrong with the Hawks. That's why I said they're not I don't see them as a shock to be this bad. Because, like I said, last year, I was expecting them to be a lot better. And even, like, when...
Lamont, that's when I gotta stop you, because heading into the season, you weren't having the same expectations as you had this season.
Yes, I was, because during Trae Young's rookie season, we saw what he could do. John Collins also had a breakout season that year, and
yeah, but they didn't have the team around them.
No, but they had role players that were willing to do their roles, and also I had faith in Cam Reddish also being a role player for
those. Those were Cam Reddish and DeAndre Hunter. They're studs, but you know this year they were getting the personnel, like the champions.
Yeah, like
they
I said,
got Rondo who has won before, Gallinari who's been to the playoffs. Who else? Bogdanović who was killing in Sacramento. You know, stuff like that. So that's why I'm thinking.
But like this I said, I get that, and I understand. Like you would expect them to be better this year. What I'm saying is, they still played in the East, right? And the East wasn't as deadly as it is this season, as it was the last two seasons. Considering the fact that they have
deadly. We're
talking about the East here. The East is deadly this season compared to what they were in the past.
Not really. A lot of
bro,
if you look at
only four teams have a winning record.
Hold on now.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything. They could be more competitive.
Hold on for a second, Carl. Lamont, you're saying that you just said something. Talk to us about it.
Like I'm saying, the East is a lot better in terms of like how their higher teams are. Like if you look, like I'm even gonna shit on my Sixers. If you look at like the past, like we'll say 4 to 5 seasons, right? The top 4 to 5 teams in the East, their records aren't that high compared to what their lower seeds are, right? Right now, like, the high seeds are where they should be and that much higher than what their lower seeds are. And when we look at the bottom of that, the grouping for the East, it's a little bit more even in where those little bottom feeders, sorry to shit on the lower teams, they're a little bit more competitive. They're a little bit more competitive with each other at the moment. And what I'm saying is, especially in the East, when you have two players such as John Collins and Trae Young, that is enough in the East for you to be an 8th fucking seed. And they weren't able to do that. There's something inherently wrong, I don't know what it is, with the Hawks right now that they've had for the past two seasons. And even though that they have a whole lot of a better team compared to what they had last year, there's still something there. I can't put my finger on it that just does not mesh well in Atlanta right now. That's why, in my opinion, I had no high hopes for that team this coming season.
It might be something to do with the fact that they've gone, you know, a lot of games into the fourth quarter with the lead and they can't close it out. So it might have something to do with that. Carl. Talk to me. What do you think about this whole situation?
I want to just continue off of the conversation that we were having with the Hawks, but I definitely vehemently disagree with Lamont. I think the expectations for the Hawks were much, much higher. No one was thinking that the Hawks would be 15 and 20. When you change the team as much as you did, and you add, like, you know, players like Clint Capella, when you add players like Danilo Gallinari, when you add players like Rajon Rondo, when you add, you know, Onyeka Okongwu, the expectations for them were supposed to be a team that was competitive in the East. I think if we look at their projections, you know, like where they were initially ranked, they probably were supposed to be somewhere as fifth in the East. And they did so bad and so surprisingly bad that their coach ended up getting fired. And the reason why people fire coaches is
the coach that got fired this year, right?
Yeah, yeah. When teams are not producing the way that that an organization expects them to produce, when they look at that roster and they say, okay, this is where we expect ourselves to be, and we're not there, the coaches have to go. And that's what happened with the Atlanta Hawks. They're definitely a major surprise. To continue off of Mig's initial question, who's a major surprise? I think the whole league has to acknowledge the New York Knicks as being a surprise. They're where the Atlanta Hawks should be, right? Where they're sitting right there, fourth, fifth place in the East. You know, they just had a winning percentage, but now they're back to, you know, at 500%. You know, this is Tom Thibodeau's first year with the Knicks, and he has them playing way above their schedule. Julius Randle being an all-star is a surprise in terms of, I mean, like, I've always believed in Julius Randle. Like, in fantasy, I drafted him his first year as a rookie. Like, you know, like, when he first came in, people were comparing him to Lamar Odom. You know, that was his kind of like, you know, ceiling or his peak. And if you see how he plays, there is some of that there. Of course, like, I would say Lamar Odom is a better ball handler, but I would say maybe Julius Randle, especially this season, is a more, a better offensive contributor. And he's even playing better defense, especially under the Tom Thibodeau system. So I would say, like, the Knicks are definitely my surprise team performance.
Yo, Migs, to go with the to carry on with the disappointing team of the year, that I think, along with the Hawks, I'm gonna give it to also New Orleans. You feel me? Because that's a team that even though they lost Jrue Holiday, which was their best player last year. You know, they had high expectations coming in with Zion, with Zion's development this year, meaning he's not missing any games due to injury. Nobody's talking about his weight. You know, all of that circus is gone. Brandon Ingram coming into his own. This guy, Lonzo Ball, coming into his own. Josh Hart learning his role. Who's their center? Stephen Adams. Getting Stephen Adams from Oklahoma City. You know, so the expectations were there. The personnel was there, is there, but they're, you know, they're four, right, as currently they're four games under 500. So, you know, that's a big disappointment. You know, I think a lot of us expected them to be in the playoff mix, at least in the bottom four of the West. But to say my biggest surprise, you know, it has to be the Utah Jazz. You know, you have to talk about the Utah Jazz because they didn't do significant moves. They've just been stepping up. Jordan Clarkson, Conley is finally being healthy, you know, aside from missing a couple of COVID protocol games or whatever. Conley is healthy. Rudy Gobert is having another defensive of the year season, you know, at least runner up, or he's always in the conversation. And Donovan Mitchell, although you don't hear much talk about Donovan Mitchell's individual play, the team is actually having success. So you got to give props to Donovan Mitchell for, you know, not letting his personal growth get in the way of team success. So I'm gonna give props to the Utah Jazz.
I'm gonna piggyback on that because that was actually my for the most surprise of the NBA season. They're sitting number one best team in the NBA. Their offensive rating is third overall, and their defensive rating is third overall. Now, we already knew that there was that they had a very good team and they were very deep. They have a very amount of players. But to be able to be putting it all right now and just stomping out the competition the way that they are, it's very well. Nobody really talks about it. We don't talk about, you know, the fact that Utah right now is winning. You know, nobody is talking about the Utah Jazz, and maybe that's the way they like it. It's the same team. But I will say, though, that I think Jordan Clarkson, we're looking at the sixth man of the year right there. And that man, the man has been balling out of control. You know, Mike Conley has been putting in there. I mean, that you know where he came from. So that's like that guy right now, I think, is one of the main reasons why they have.
Wait, didn't the Lakers draft him?
Yeah, they did. They did, but Carl, but you know, H thinks that anybody who ever put on a Cleveland jersey is born, raised, and bleeds Cavs.
Once they hit the Cavs, I don't know what they did before, and I don't care what they did after.
Wait, hold on. Did Mike say that Jordan Clarkson was the next Kobe?
Oh, you're trying to bring that man back.
We're going to have to review where one of the takes on that one. But I'll tell you what, the Utah Jazz surprised me. But you know, one of the teams that have disappointed me that I'm looking at, I'm like just a little bit disgusted in a way, it's just the Boston Celtics. I'm shocked that they're playing as bad because let's keep it real. They're only 18 and 17, and they're not too far off away from the top in the East. But the way
–
I don't know if anybody's seen their games. I mean – in my opinion, Jason Tatum looks like he just took back two steps. Jalen Brown looks like he took two steps.
My brother, apparently.
I don't know about maybe. Has he taken up a step?
Yo, yes. No. Jalen Brown is balling this year. Jalen Brown is balling this year.
I think Jalen Brown just kind of said, you know what? Nah, man, there ain't no clear cut number one or number two. I'm number one, and he's kind of running with it. I do think that Brad Stevens right now should be in trouble for his job. The only reason is because if you've seen what they did,
Danny Ainge should be in trouble for his job.
No, because they have a good team. They have a good team with it. But Brad Stevens right now, for some strange reason, look. I'm not saying that he's a bad coach, but let's just look at what's been going on. He took the same team. He took a team to the Eastern Conference Finals up against LeBron and to a Game 7. They could have won that one without a Kyrie Irving, right? The following year with Kyrie Irving, they actually were worse than the year before. And they thought that Kyrie Irving was not identifying his role. There was an issue with people, you know, star players during their roles. They shuttled him out there. They still then went over and signed up Kemba Walker. So supposed to be filling up that same role where it's more team game. They actually were worse last year than they were the year before. And now this year, they're worse than the last 3 years.
I have a theory about Brad Stevens, right?
But Kemba's hurt.
Kemba's back and playing. It's not even about Kemba right now.
Like, but Kemba's in and out, bro. The bad knees. He's missed Jason, a lot of games. Bro.
I feel you. He's a big part, but Tatum is the one. Tatum hasn't stepped it up this year.
I think he's getting run out of the number one spot.
He's also dealing with COVID.
Migs, piggybacking on your thing of Boston, of talking
he
about Boston.
She had it and the side effects.
Has they been underachieving? Word out of Boston is that the Celtics and Danny Ainge, the reason why I mentioned Danny Ainge is because, you know, the Celtics, they had their process. They've been saving picks, making great drafts, making great trades for picks. You know, they're a farm, bro. They're a well-ran farm, like Danny Ainge, his vision. That's always been his vision. Stockpiling draft picks, drafts, great players, and they mold their players, and they, you know. But the negative thing about that is that now he's not getting the results that he planned for. Like, it's getting to the point where Boston is stagnant. They're not getting any better. And that goes with Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum hasn't gotten better from last year to this season. You know, Jalen Brown stepped it up. Like, Migs, you said Tatum took two steps back. I'm going to say Jalen Brown took two steps up. If you have seen the games, that boy is balling. Bro, he's taking any shot.
He's also balling last year too. I
but not like this. Team. Not with the green light like this. Not the type of shots he's making.
It was Jason Tatum's team this year. I cannot say it's Jason Tatum.
You can't exactly. You can't say that it's his team.
And it's a difference. It's funny how because of that you've seen them just staggering.
Like
one thing I'll say too is that the Celtics are definitely cursed. Like ever since you know they played my boy IT played on a bad hip, got them into the playoffs. Like his sister died, and you know he played for them. And he won some games. He put his heart out there. And you know what they did? They shipped him out. They did not pay that man. And a lot of people, the way that they see the Celtics is a bit different. I remember even Anthony Davis, his father said that he did not want Anthony Davis to go to the Celtics because of what they did to IT and how you know they disrespected him. And so now they're one of those teams where free agents may not necessarily consider going there. And so now what the only way that they can survive is with trades and draft picks, and that can only go so far.
See, to go back to the Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown thing, Jason Tatum only went up 1 point, went up a rebound and an assist, and Jason Tatum went up 4 points from last season. Jaylen Brown went up 4 points. You know, he's still the same in rebounds and got better in assists, and he's still the same in steals. So he did, you know, those 4 points make a difference. You know, he went from 20 to 24, bro. So he wasn't the same Jaylen Brown, but that does raise the question, whose team is this?
Look, this is my Tatum's hot take.
Team.
This is my hot take for
I can't say that with confidence.
My hot take Boston Celtics is Brad Stevens can't coach a team when there's a legitimate star on the team. I haven't seen him be able to do well when there's that like one person or even two people that you look at and be like, this is the guy. When he has, I don't want to say shit, but when he has like teams that are just a bunch of like role players, his record is better. His record is better. When he has that one or two people that he's like, all right, I have to give this ball to this person when they were in the clutch, he's not as good right there. He knows how to work with what he got.
He showed that with Kyrie because Kyrie couldn't fit into Brad Stevens' system because, Lamont said, Brad Stevens likes to get control of the full team. He wants to drive the car. Kyrie is a driver, as you can see in Brooklyn. He's driving.
Well, Kyrie, what was Kyrie doing on the Cleveland Cavaliers before LeBron showed up there? They were a lottery team. Kyrie needs to be like the second or the third best player on your team. If he's the first best player on your team, it's gonna be really hard because he's not a facilitator. He doesn't make
Perfect situation in Brooklyn he's not the best player, but he's the leader.
I think James Harden is the leader of the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, in terms of who's on the floor.
We're jumping into the Brooklyn Nets, right? So let me ask you this. We all had high expectations for Brooklyn going into the season, but do you think they've met those expectations?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, they got the chance. Like I said, bro,
But let me finish. Because we came in with just Durant and Kyrie. Then they brought in James Harden. Do you think at the time, because, you know, obviously now they look like they're balling and everything like that, but they're running over some, you know, let's just say they might be getting lucky. They might got lucky in that 5 hot streak when they just ran through the West. But do you think that the team was better or more capable of ready for a championship run before the James Harden trade or now?
The only reason
even a question. Come on, that's not even a question.
Question, bro.
Bro, you said the difference between Kyrie and KD versus Kyrie, KD, and Harden. Like clearly Kyrie, KD, and Harden is better. But
I feel like they don't have a lot of bench. They don't have a lot of depth to go in there.
Well,
in the playoffs, it might be trouble.
one of the reasons why they don't have depth is because, well, they did trade away Jared Allen, but Spencer Dinwiddie got hurt. So, you know, that's something that they couldn't foresee. But the team is playing a lot better because, as I mentioned in this pod where some people disagreed with me, James Harden is more than enough capable of playing the point guard role. And as he's...
I got a name.
No, it was Lamont. It was Lamont, but you know, I want to put him out there. But no,
I don't have an issue with anything I've said. Like I said, I don't like nah, I said, when I said I didn't see that. All I said was I haven't seen him play that role specifically. And before that, he was a reluctant passer. I'm okay to eat crow.
No, he hasn't been a reluctant passer because there's been years where he's averaged maybe like, you know, 11, 12 assists, but which I not, mentioned those, in the yes, past.
And I get that, but no, none of those assists were setup assists. It was my attack failed. Let me kick it out.
But he would always set up the right person in his offense. He had that with Clint Capella on the Houston Rockets. But you could see the way that he passes that he has the ability for that and he has the IQ for that.
He's a willing passer.
And he is a willing passer, but in positions of pass and teams of pass, he's never been asked to do that role. And one thing that I said is watch. No, in OKC, he was like a six man. He came off the bench. So they didn't run him as point guard. They had Westbrook as the point guard. He was coming off as six man.
When they benched Westbrook, he was the primary ball handler to get KD the ball.
Yeah, but it's kind of different because he was really operating with the bench most of the time, so that's why he got six man of the year.
When I drafted Harden this year, I drafted him to be my point guard of my FBA team. So, I've always
known that he has those capabilities. I mean, like, I'm a big James Harden fan. If there's one player that I say that I'm a fan of, it's James Harden. And so, like, you know, I recognize those skills in him. I mentioned this in the pod, and now we're seeing him actually lead a team and be the best point guard, the best facilitator on that team, and is helping everyone's game around him. And I've made this argument in the past. If OKC was smart enough to have James Harden as their point guard, maybe they could have done way better than they've done. But they didn't realize his ability.
I'm gonna have to disagree. I agree with you on James Harden being a point guard, willing passer. You know, doing more than what Lamont said about doing system assists or whatever. Because he does have the eye for it, and if you're a willing passer, you chances are you have an eye for, you gotta have some kind of an eye to pass the ball. You feel me? Like you're looking to pass. So I'm gonna give him that. I'm agree with you there, Carl. But when you say that he's the leader of the Nets, I'm gonna have to disagree because I think it revolves around Kyrie. Meaning, yes, he's not the best player. Obviously, I don't think he knows that, but we know he's not the best player on that team. But he's driving the car. Meaning. You know, he came at James Harden and said, yo, you're the point guard. Even though we all knew, but it took Kyrie kind of sort of like D-Wade did to LeBron. Everybody knew LeBron was the best player on that Miami Heat team first year. But LeBron didn't like to step on his friend D-Wade's toes.
I think the term is the LeBron of the team, but we've been known that because
the MVP show you what happened.
He asked, how did we get to LeBron? So I was explaining that in the conversation. Kyrie is the vocal leader.
It revolves around him. I don't think KD can't override.
But I think part of that.
Listen, I'm here to ball out. I don't care what y'all want to do. It doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, that's KD's attitude. Deal with everything else, Kyrie.
Feeling it, you guys better just stay out the way and let me do my thing, and that's a wrap.
One thing I'll say is I think if you look at all three of them, they have to protect Kyrie's psyche. So I think like James Harden and KD are looking at Kyrie and they're like, yo, we got to keep him happy because we need him to win. And if we don't keep him happy, you don't know what he's going to do. He may stop playing games. He might, you know, be funky, this, that, and third. So if they have to defer just to make sure that they keep him happy, I think they're more than willing to do that.
I agree. Yo, that's why I think that they have him set up as the vocal leader.
Going back to what
I don't think, like I said, I don't think that like, in terms of like who's like the leader, I don't think that both James Harden or KD care. Like I think that because of their past with each other and they respect each other enough, exactly, like that they don't mind doing that. That's why I agree with
the finals Kyrie MVP is the leader. Will be James Harden though. Most in my opinion.
Look, I agree with you on that. If they get there, it'll be James Harden. I agree with you on that.
Yo, going back to what Migs asked, did we think that it was gonna be better than James Harden and James Harden on the Nets than without James Harden, just KD and Kyrie? Bro, if I don't recall, the minute I heard that Harden was in the mix to go to Brooklyn, bro, wasn't I saying, wrap it up, give him the championship, that's it.
But when you say that, we can't take it. You have to say that.
When it actually happens, when three players like that of that magnitude team up, you have to rip all the plans and give in and say, yo, they're going to win it. Even if you think I'm trolling, they're going to win it.
Right.
You feel me? It's like, it's automatic.
They have chip or bust expectations.
Definitely. Definitely.
Like if PG and Kawhi had it, they definitely have it.
It's funny you say that. It's funny you say that because one of the things that nobody's really talking about, or maybe at least not over here on this side of the coast, maybe on the West Coast, is let's just be honest with each other. The Clippers, they showing us that they really are trash. At no point in time have they showed us that. Listen, this is the team that's going to take the Lakers out in any type of games. Are you kidding me? They can't even beat LeBron 2-on-1. Every moment so far, at least not every moment, but there's been a lot of moments, marquee national game moments when the Clippers, they put the ball in the hands of their two best stars in the fourth quarter, and they just threw up bricks after bricks after bricks. They choked. So it's funny how we're talking about Brooklyn Nets now being what we thought, you know, the Clippers was going to be, just the dominant force that's going to just take over the NBA in one season.
Really quick. They were doing good at the start of the season. They were at the top of the West, and everybody thought, you know, they're clicking. But they did that last year. It is a long season, and also Kawhi has kept up with his load management, and along with the COVID protocols and all of that stuff. It's still a lot of things going on in the Clippers. They do have, you know, they're in the fourth in the West. They're tied with the same record as the Lakers. They actually only have one more loss than the Lakers, so they're not doing that bad. But I have watched their games, a couple of their games, and I don't see them clicking yet. It's a long season though, but they better build more chemistry, and a lot has to do with the stars playing more games. You know, so hopefully the second half of the season, you know, they step that up because they need to click if they want to win. That's the only thing stopping them. Their chemistry, in my opinion.
They got the personnel.
Yeah, but there's like I said for like the Hawks, there's just something not right with that team. Can't put my finger on it, but for the Clippers, there's something that's like stopping them from being as dominant as they should be when it matters.
That was a good point. Because last year, yeah, they did have expectations to at least make the playoffs with John Collins and Trae Young, you know, being who he turned out to be. I don't think Trae Young has stepped it up this season, though. I think he's along with the Tatum, where he's not really
Better. Think he's coasting, or
a player like him shouldn't coast. Young players like that shouldn't coast, bro. He just got his sneaker deal, bro. This was the year for him to kill.
The thing with Trae Young is now we're trying to wonder whether or not he's a winner, We know that he can produce stats, but we don't know if he's a winner. And we're also kind of like, you know, giving Luka that kind of side eye too as well, because his team is also underperforming. That's also a surprise team. People thought, you know, they were going to be a little bit better.
But like the thing,
a little better, bro. They pushed the Clippers to game seven. Game six.
They're 10th in the West.
They don't have like a full squad. Their second best player is hardly playing. You know, I'm not really surprised that the Dallas Mavericks are doing what they're doing, because at the end of the day, if you decide to isolate and just throw everything you got at Luka, that team is not capable of winning you more games than losing you games. So,
like the reason why I somewhat agree with Migs, but in a different reason, is like I think we talked about this earlier when we were talking about our shock for their record currently. Like I think that if you watch how Luka played his first two seasons versus this season, like the defense on him is a lot different. I feel like he's getting a little bit more comfortable with it right now, but I feel like he just has to get used to people treating him like how the rest of us see him in the terms of the quality of player that he is. So I think that he's just getting adjusted to that. Like there were people who were starting to give him more respect on defense last season, but it still wasn't as like, it's not the respect that they're giving him right now. Like when they see Luka going up the court, they're like starting to get him like right after he gets past the half court line. Like I feel like he's just getting used to that right now. I would be more shocked if next year, or even fuck next year, if like this second half of the season he's still playing like this with this team and he hasn't adjusted a little bit more to where he is right now, then I would be more inclined to be on the same side as you, Carl, in terms of my disappointment.
Being surprised. Yeah, well, you know what? I'm rooting for them to keep losing. The Knicks have the Dallas Mavericks pick. Tank for K, man. I have Luka on my fantasy team. He got a back spasm. I was like, you know what? Forget this fantasy. Stay out. Mavericks, I need y'all to lose.
I am dead.
Yo, tank for Cade for the Knicks. My boy Cade Cunningham.
And on that note, we're going to break it for today. We're going to cover more of the first half of the regular season the next episode. We're going to dish out who we think should win them awards. We're talking about them MVPs, you know, rookie of the years, defensive player of the years, most improved, sixth man of the year, head coach, GM, the whole shebang. Fellas, thank you as always for coming through.
Anytime.
This is Mr. Migs. That's Lamont. That's Carl. That's H. And that's Miko signing off. We'll tune in next time. Be sure to hit us up in Spotify. Look at our IGs. You should already know them. And if you don't, we'll make sure that you do, because we're going to, you know, keep throwing
feed in challenge.
All our things right there. Coach's challenge.
Reach.
Talk to you guys later.
Later.
Like, share, and subscribe.